Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praises due to Allah. And let the peace and blessings of Allah be upon His Prophet Muhammad, His companions and followers until the end of time. Proceed. We've reached in our lectures of Aqidah from the book of Risalat Tadmiriyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. We've reached the seventh and last rules. The seventh and last rule in understanding and believing in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the understanding of the first three generations of Muslims. And the seventh rule is only recorded in one manuscript that the editor collected. So the editor collected five handwritten manuscripts of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and this final rule, the seventh final rule, was only listed in one of the five. So the author says that many facts that are proven in the Quran and the Sunnah are in accordance to what the brain accepts. So especially in this, when it says what has been proven in the book and the Sunnah, really means, you know, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is the creator and etc., all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all those are facts that come from the Quran and the Sunnah. They do not defy the human intellect, meaning that they are logical explanations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these in many locations, especially in the Quran. So the author states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented many proofs, so many ayats, proving His existence and His uniqueness and His powers and His knowledge and etc. So there are numerous intellectual proofs of the existence and uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His omnipotence, meaning His power. And there are many, a lot of times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions, or He says questions the other people and tries them and asks them, what have they created other than what Allah has created? Have they created anything else but what Allah has created, and etc. So these ayahs show the challenge that Allah presented to people who claim that there are other gods other than Allah. And also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prove his powers and his control over the creation. And this creation cannot be just created out of nowhere, out of luck, or, you know, but it had to have some type of higher power that organized these things and showed that the perfect creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that could not happen by luck, as some people say, that, you know, life just came on earth by luck. But in fact, it happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, you know, the sun, you know, the skies, the earths, animals, plants, etc., even germs, microbes. There are many verses also on the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and singularity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such as Allah saying, if the world had two gods, they will have perished. And other ayahs similar to these that challenge the existence of multiple gods or deity in this world. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also logically proved the existence of His prophets and the prophethood of the prophets.
الله سبحانه وتعالى تأيّد أنبياءه بما كتاب
And the author means here that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already predicted the victory of some of his prophets and his messengers. He gave his prophets and messengers miracles to prove that they are authentic prophets and messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And similarly, finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves the power of resurrection that Allah has to resurrect the creation after their death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous places says that He would resurrect the creation just as He created them first time, which was easy for Him. The initial creation of the human and just the creation in general was an easy task for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the All-Powerful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore says, questions Him, He says, isn't it creating the heavens and the earth more difficult or more grandiose than creating the humans? To show His power and to probe the human intellect, to reflect and think about that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, it would be very easy for Him to create humans, or actually bring them back to life once they died, if He created them the first time when they were nothing and became something. So these proofs that we're talking about in our understanding, and the intellectual understanding that we have, are religious proofs from two parts. The first part is that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet told us about these are religious proofs. They are proofs from the Sharia. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so, we take it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He can resurrect dead, we take it that way. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will group us and judge us on the Day of Judgment, even though we were dead, then we take it. So the simple fact that it was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophets, we take it as fact. And furthermore, why do we believe in these aspects and these powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because, in the second, it is also intellectual proofs that the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in His Quran are clear intellectual proofs that an intellectual person cannot deny, a logical person cannot deny. So in fact, in Allah, in His all wisdom, He made it such that these proofs will be intellectual proofs, that a person could sit down and contemplate and be convinced of the authenticity of this message. So what does this mean when we say we could accept these facts either because they were told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or because they are intellectual proofs? It also means that, for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not compare dying with sleeping, for instance, even if it was not said in the Quran, we could believe that. It will be, intellectually speaking, okay, we could say that, okay, sleeping, and actually scientifically speaking also, sleep is similar to death in some instances, that you are very close to death. So some of these proofs are both religious and intellectual proofs.
فإن السمع هو مجرد الإسلام الصادق، وخبر الصادق الذي هو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يعلم صدقه إلا بعد العلم بهذه الفصول العقل، يقول متكلمون يسمون يكون هذا الوصول للصورة العقلية باعتبار أنها هي تعتبر عند العقل.
So there are some people who call these principles only intellectual principles because they claim that these can only be understood by contemplation or by the brain. So they believe that in fact the Quran and the Sunnah are only literal facts, meaning that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it, we take it as fact, but meaning which means that you cannot have any room for interpretation intellectually, which is incorrect. As we stated earlier, these proofs are both intellectual and religious, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them forth. So what these people are claiming is that if the Prophet ﷺ said something, we should first look if it makes sense intellectually. If we take a statement of the Prophet ﷺ, we should go and reflect on it, on the statement intellectually. If it makes sense, we accept it. If it doesn't make sense, we don't accept it. And this is another incorrect approach, because whatever the Prophet ﷺ told us, we take as fact as well, especially when it comes to things, matters of the unknown. So for example, some people go and have issues in terms of these intellectual proofs to prove the prophethood of the prophets. So some people say that, well, intellectually speaking, even, and these are the Mu'tazila, this is one of the groups of the go and claim lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go and philosophize about many aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mu'tazila say that, well, a human, an intellectual being, has the power to recognize between what is right and what is wrong, regardless of having a religion or having some type of higher purpose guiding his moral compass. They're saying that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish someone because he has the ability to know what is right from what is wrong, even though maybe he did not see a prophet. He did not follow a religion brought forth by a prophet. However, so the mistakes of the Mu'tazila is that they went and believed that the intellect is enough for you to know what is right and what is wrong, which is incorrect. One cannot be punished if he was not known. One cannot be punished before, for example, the appearance of the Sharia. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will not punish the tribe until we send amongst them a prophet or a messenger. So you cannot be punished unless you are familiar with the religion, familiar with the message. So Mu'tazila say no. One is punished even though the religion has not even been revealed to him. There's also Ash'ari, another group. So the Ash'ariyya, they say, okay, the brain cannot recognize what is right and what is wrong. Human on its own cannot recognize what is right and what is wrong. Anything that happens before the appearance of a true religion, before the Sharia comes forth, there is no right and wrong in the first place. The Sharia get it right in terms that the Asha'ira get it right in terms of them saying that everything that is good is what the Sharia says is good, and everything that is bad is what the Sharia says is bad, which is correct. So the Sharia get it right that in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish somebody before the Sharia appears, before the religion appears. However, what they made the mistake is that when they said that, the brain cannot differentiate between what is right and what is wrong, and only when the Sharia comes that you are punished. Whereas it is true that you do not get punished until the Sharia comes. However, they believe that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know what was right and what is wrong until the Sharia appeared. That is where they're mistaken. And furthermore, the same group also denies the Qadr, the divine decree, with anything that does not fit the intellect. So Qadr is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything that would happen, and He knew that everything that would happen before its existence, etc. So Asha'ira disbelieve al-Qadr completely. Al-Mu'tazila, I'm sorry, are the ones who do not believe in the Qadr. So in fact, the Mu'tazila have intellectual proofs to negate al-Qadr, or to disbelieve in the Qadr. So for example, they say that, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created evil and right and wrong and already knew that some humans would be more evil than others, then Allah would have been unjust to them. So they claim these philosophical claims to dispute the Qadr, the divine pre-decree, the divine decree. So Asha'ira are the ones who accept only aspects of the Qadr that which fit the human intellect. And these are the ones that are referred to in this book by Ibn Taymiyyah. So some people say also, another group says that, well, we cannot prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and the sustainer, however, unless we can prove that this world, this universe, is a creation. is something that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we cannot find intellectual proofs to prove that, then we cannot believe it. So some of these people are so extreme that if somebody has not reached some type of intellectual certainty, like he does not have enough intellectual proofs to believe that Allah is the creator, they claim that he is a kafir, that he is a disbeliever. So basically these people only require intellectual proofs to prove the belief of someone, and which is incorrect, obviously. And the method of the Qur'an and the Sunnah is to use the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a proof to the existence of Allah, the existence of God. Similarly, we know that the fitrah, the innate nature of humans is that of Tawheed. We believe that there is only one God. If you sent somebody to a jungle and never met humans, he would believe that there is only one God who created us, etc. So one does not necessarily need to know all the intellectual proofs and prove intellectual the existence of God to be a believer, to be a Muslim. And that is where this group goes to extremes, where they only require intellectual knowledge of the existence of Allah as a requirement for belief or for Islam. So then they say, how do we prove that the world is a creation, that the sun and the universe is created, the sun and the earth and etc. are creation? So we'll say we know that the sun and the heavens and the earth were created. Because it has actions and attributes. So these attributes and these actions are created as well. So as they will say, the sun rotates and the sun moves and etc. So these are actions that the earth and the sun does or do, and so that means that they were created. So, and effectively, by adopting this definition of having by having objects that are created or creations to have actions and attributes, they effectively disbelieve in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names and attributes that are unique to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he went and lowered himself to the lower heavens, right, at night, as he does in a manner that befits him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they disbelieve in that because they say, well, only the creation can do that. Only the creation can have attributes and actions. So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot have these. So they will go and effectively disbelieve in the attributes and actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these are, you know, a misguidance. Either disbelieving in the attributes, the unique attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the actions that he tells us he performs subhanahu wa ta'ala that befit him. And furthermore, they disbelieve in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his actions. They disbelieve in the Quran and the Sunnah as well, because they brought forth what we know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe what, and we believe things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only those that were revealed to us in the Quran or told to us by a prophet, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, to review these people, one cannot be in essence, basically, or an object in existence without attributes. It is impossible. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unique names and attributes that befit His Majesty alone. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions and attributes befit Him only. And the creation does not share such names, such attributes, and such actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So basically, in short, what these people do, they believe that the intellect is the source of the religious text or of the religious ruling, whereas it should be the other way around. The religious ruling supports some of the intellectual knowledge that humans have. But they go the other way around. They say knowledge and the brain in general and the intellect is the source of the religious rulings on the Sharia. So these people, what they do, they say, okay, if the religious text makes sense, we accept it. If it doesn't make sense to our intellect, then we neglect it and ignore it. And what they will do, for example, if they were to explain, for example, names of attributes of Allah, they will go and distort them to fit something that their intellect understands, when a lot of times Allah's uniqueness does not have to fit a human attribute, a human intellect. Or they just say, oh, you know, these words don't mean anything, ignore them, etc. For example, like Hamim and all these letters that the human intellect does not understand, and we do not know what they mean, they will go and try to put some explanation to them as well.
ظاهريا يزعمون انهم يستجيبون الكتاب والسنه الا حققت الامر
And the author is warning that these people, on the surface, they will claim that they adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah. However, if you investigate further, and in fact, any time you provide a proof from the Quran or the Sunnah, they will refuse it, because they will say, oh, this does not make sense to our intellect. So they only follow their brains and their desires more than the Quran and the Sunnah. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and we'll pray Maghrib and we'll resume, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.